Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to MV Talk Radio's broadcast of April 29, 2015. My name is Mike McCoy, and Deanna Reeder will be joining us shortly to discuss current events in Moreno Valley, California. You can follow our podcast by going to our internet site at blogtalkradio.com. In the search box, enter MV City Talk and navigate to our show or to any archived show from the past. You are welcome to phone in and be on the show at 946-929-0610. Then follow the instructions given by the automated operator or email Deanna for help. And you can email us at any time at stopvotesforsale@gmail.com. And Deanna will do her best to respond to your questions. Thank you all for listening in. Now let's get started. Good evening, Deanna. How are you doing?
I am fine. And how are you this evening?
I'm pretty good, and I wonder if our listeners are able to check up on last night's council meeting. What did you find out when you watched it on MTV or radio, MVTV?
I watched it on MVTV on Channel 3. I have Verizon Fios, so the only thing I would have to say that's a pain about doing it from the TV is I like it on the TV versus the computer because I can get the TV louder, which means if I want to do something, I can. If I play it on my computer sound doesn't go very loud, so I literally have to sit right at the monitor, and that is just impossible to do for the length of the show. The only problem with Fios is when you record them, you have to record them in four-hour increments, and they're pre-done 4 hours. For example, you have to record from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., 7 to 11, and then from 11 to 3. So if you have a meeting that starts at 6 and you're programming it to watch it, you have to program 3 hours that the meeting isn't going to be on because of how they have their programming, which is actually kind of dumb. I might talk to them about that and ask them if there's a way they can change that.
Yeah, better formatting for the public.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not sure what time the meetings replay when they replay it. Maybe it's actually geared to that, but it certainly isn't geared to when the meeting actually originally airs. So I didn't go to the meeting, but I did watch it, and there were a few interesting things. Not quite as many people talking about the World Logistics Center that assume they're going to talk the council into it. I think that those decisions have been made, so I don't think they're talking anybody into it.
I think
some people have been paid to make those decisions, and some people haven't been, so it's pretty much easy.
Yep.
Now, there were a few things that I thought were of interest, and of course, a lot of things go on the consent agenda, and those items that go on the consent agenda get very little, if any, discussion. In fact, most of them don't get any discussion at all. For example, Eucalyptus Avenue between Redlands Boulevard and Moreno Beach Drive is going to change to Encelia Avenue, and I hate when they change street names. I absolutely, positively can't stand when they change street names.
Towngate, Eucalyptus, Box Springs, or whatever those, East Ridge, all those. See? Could be another
one. Yeah, so there was not one single solitary. Nobody said anything about the comments. And, so it's going to change. People are going to go, how come I didn't know? And, I didn't send out an email this time.
Deanna, what was the range of that change again? What was the range? Where?
Between Redlands and Moreno Beach, Eucalyptus between Redlands and Moreno Beach will become Encelia Avenue.
So all those auto-centered people are going to have to change their address and their formatting and their stationery and their websites. What's going on here?
Well, you know what? I don't know if this is something that they had to advise him of ahead of time or not. As a matter of fact, because public hearings they have to tell them about, but this wasn't considered a public hearing, but to me it should have been.
It was a decree.
Well, it's a resolution changing the name.
Yeah.
So the city clerk will send something to the Riverside County Assessor's Office, and then the 911 system and, you know,
yep.
Postmaster, that kind of stuff, and it'll get changed.
Google Earth Map, all of them.
Right, and there was an agreement for... I know, to me, it's irritating. You know what? If you get a name, you call it a name. If you want to honor somebody or something like that, you know what? You change a street that hasn't been named yet. But to change a street, an Encelia, I mean, what the heck is that?
I think it's a plant.
Well, it could be, but, you know.
Well,
we
could Google it and see. But go ahead.
Yeah, there's, you know, it just one of those things that nobody ever knows because they didn't go. And then there's a First Amendment to the agreement for law enforcement services between the city and Town Circle Holdings, which would be the mall, I believe. So I know they had asked a while back to cut down the hours that they have to provide law enforcement, so I'm guessing that's the finalization of that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a the city's five-year Measure A local streets and road improvement plan. Now, Measure A, now that's the money that they're using to pay for NASEN, which I find it really interesting that they paid for NASEN, and now that they paid for it, now they want to know what people want to do with NASEN. So that tells me in the beginning there was no real big plan.
Yeah.
Let's just pay for what Benzini wants, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do with it later. And now they want to now they're having meetings. So if you're going to spend this much for something, wouldn't you think you would know what you were going to do before you spent that much money and not after you've already committed the taxpayers to spending that much money? But, you
it
know,
like
this is Marina Valley.
Procedure for that council. Yeah. It was the NASEN, was it the overpass, or was it the extension down to Iris?
Now, the only thing on the consent agenda that they moved to have a separate vote on is there was an award from the ASPCA for construction of a healthy dog intake area. And so I explained this a little bit, and that's so that when they brought dogs in, they didn't put them in the general population right away, and that way dogs would probably stay healthier if a dog that just got away from home versus, you know, stray dogs that who knows how they were treated and such. But they did talk about that one quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. The city attorney, was there a new city attorney there?
Well, you know what? It's the law firm, so he introduced himself at introductions with his name as, you know, interim city attorney. But I think he said his name and the law firm's name. But no no discussion about it. No, just...
So he sat there at a rate of $500 an hour or something to hardly do anything?
If I remember correctly, the term is for $200 an hour for services rendered.
Okay. Sorry about
that. Well, at least that's what they said the contract was for, so hopefully we're not paying him more than what we contracted to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
And the one
that
I always think...
Well, my point is that's making a huge salary for sitting there.
Yeah, he does. Especially when he doesn't say much.
Well, he's there to make sure they don't stumble. And obviously, it hasn't worked very well in the past. Lawsuits hanging over their heads. And what, every agenda has a closed session just about for, you know, litigation. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. That's actually towards the there was an item, you know, how they had talked about changing the meeting rules and what they were going to, how they were going to conduct the meetings. The only rule that was brought forward was changing the closed session from after the meetings to 4:30. So it's before the regular meetings. And so even though there was lots of other different rules that were discussed, that's the only rule that actually came forward.
And they had a resolution?
And, yeah, so there was a resolution to approve that, and they did.
What do you think,
so
Deanna?
All the other things that they had talked about. But you know what? I don't think there's going to be that many repercussions. The truth is, most people do not stay to listen to any report out of closed session. And they usually...
They might save money if they have it first, you know, because the city attorney has to be there, travel time, et cetera, et cetera. They, or other people that are commonly going to these closed sessions. Maybe there's some way they save money because staff is already at City Hall rather than having to stay late or something.
Well, you know what? There's not that many people that are in a closed session. It's just usually the city council, city attorney, and city manager. Even the city clerk is not in these closed session meetings.
Neither is HR.
Well, you know what? If it had to do with an HR issue, I'm sure HR would be there, but I... For the most part, I don't think that there's that many other people that are involved in these. And if it's litigation, you know, possibly, you know, the attorney for, you know, the other side, unless they're just going through a report or, you know, city attorney is just presenting them with whatever happened or what they would like to file, that kind of thing. But it's not like they have to make that many... considerations for their own staff, because I think, as far as I know, for most of them, there's probably, for the most part, only two staff members that would go, except for, you know, the employee negotiations, you know, whoever the, who's ever representing, you know, the different groups would go as well, but we're still not talking a lot of staff, but it would keep people, because... At a closed session meeting, the public has an opportunity to speak about the closed session agenda, which means that they get another, you know, not on agenda opportunity to speak, you know, if they wanted.
That's true.
So, I mean, so they would probably cut most people from doing that because most of them don't go to these. I
Anything
went to
else
quite
from
a
the
few,
meeting?
But stopped.
I know you did.
you know, and this one I thought was that was kind of crappy on there. Well, it's a good program, but it was crappy the way it was brought forward. It's a higher Moval incentive program, and it was presented as if the idea came from Exton Gutierrez. Well, I can tell you that there's on at least three occasions that Daryl Terrell has presented this to the council over the last several years, starting in like 2009. In fact,
and I think Jesse Molina mentioned it at least once, but it didn't go anywhere.
And so everyone was giving kudos to Exton for doing it. It wasn't his idea. I mean, he you know, all he did was, I mean, and it wasn't that long ago that Daryl brought it up again. I think it was like last October. So, yeah, Exton took credit for what Daryl's been presenting to the council for years. That part was kind of crappy. You know, a nice idea, but, you know,
yeah,
it's crappy to say an idea was yours. And at the very
least, it seems to be in his nature. He plagiarizes. It wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, you know, you need to give credit where it's due. And even if he thinks it was an original idea, you know, it's obvious how many times Daryl has, you know, submitted stuff. And, I mean, he submits it and he gives them a paper, you know, in the public record. This is what I submitted. So, I mean, it's right there. So,
I
thought that was crappy.
One of our citizens at least brought it up. He could have said that.
Yeah, so I remember this because I talked to Daryl about it, and one time when I went to my husband over to the Union Hall, we brought it up to them, and, you know, and Daryl had done a lot of background into different cities that had done local hiring ordinances, and so, yeah, they were very impressed. So for them to, you know, for someone to take credit for something that's been, you know, brought forth by someone else several times, I just...
So where did they go with it, Deanna?
Well, I think that they approved it. And this is the beginning. You know what? I would have to go read if the entire ordinance is here,
yeah.
But... I didn't read the whole thing if it was here, so I would have to read some of the finer points of it. And
of course,
it has
teeth in it.
Yeah, you know what? It's Moreno Valley, and you know they have been saying for, because every time Daryl brought it up before, they we can't do that, we can't do that. But you know that was Barry Foster.
A few cities have done it.
Yeah, lots of other cities have done it. And they are going to make appointments to the Planning Commission. They're going to appoint alternates. And Arlen Gonzalez and Lori Nickel will be alternates on the
That's good to hear
Planning
about Lori Nickel.
Commission. Yes, I was, you know, I can't believe they didn't put her. Well, yes, I can. It's Moreno Valley, so I can believe anything.
You always need,
you know,
that
the most
there.
Knowledgeable person, the person that's actually, you know, done as much as she's done, accomplished as much as she's accomplished, and they couldn't put her on there. But, you know, they don't want anybody, you know, on there all the time that isn't going to, you know, toe the line for them. And like I said, the rules of procedure, that was kind of, when I heard that, I'm like, oh, crap, there was really some stuff I wanted to say about that. But as it turns out, I needn't to worry because they really didn't adopt any, I mean, there was lots of different things they talked about, but nothing came forward, so.
Okay.
and one of the last things that was very, very interesting was this ordinance for finance and conveyance maps, and this was, you know how, you know what the track map is. Well,
yeah.
In addition to a track map, a developer can ask for a finance and conveyance map, and from what I gathered, what this would do would make it easier for them to sell different pieces of property before they finish developing. And
it's
even
called a parcel
though,
map, usually.
Right. But this is different than that even, because there are certain things a parcel map has to have. So reports, this and that. This is a different item. But this makes it easier for them to get financing or to finance parts of it separate than other parts. So basically this is something that it says it will have a zero impact on the city, but it will be something that developers might use.
I could see some things they could pull that they can't do now, and maybe this is even contrary to state law in the Subdivision and Map Act, but I'd have to see it anyway. But thanks for bringing that up, and it is curious, but I was wondering if we could change gears about now. We have
okay.
about 10 minutes left, and maybe with your
okay.
permission, we can go ahead and cover a few other things. So
that's about
okay.
it for the meeting anyway.
I know. I wanted to bring up the fact that there was a logistics conference last Friday that took place, I believe, in Ontario, and it was a $150 fee to attend. But according to the press, it was widely attended, but it was, in my opinion, mainly a pat ourselves on the back meeting. A lot of big shots were there, and developers, people from the ports, and some John Husing types were there, too. And unfortunately, we don't have a transcript of what was said or any YouTubes that I know about or anything like that. They might be out there. But it was mainly, like I said, pat ourselves on the back, and logistics is our savior, and everything's going to come our way if we just stop with the bureaucratic and protesting about them and let business do what it wants. It'll benefit us all 10,000-fold in the future. Then I wanted to point out to all of our listeners that the long-awaited revised environmental impact report, the second version, for the World Logistics Center will be released May 1st. And that's a couple of days from now. And copies will be available online and through the city staff and probably will be posted also in our libraries and other locations. The Planning Commission will be hearing it as early as June 11th, although it might be delayed. So I'm inviting all interested parties to please take time to look it over, make some comments, and organize a series of presentations at City Council. And I myself, I have the first EAR, I had 30 pages of comments, and I'm going to be looking very carefully to see if they were addressed appropriately. I have a feeling, though, that the World Logistics Center probably is doing the minimum that they required to do, and this will be a very quick read, and unfortunately, because it's Moreno Valley, they'll go ahead and pass it, and I'm not real hopeful that it's going to come through with flying colors and be supportable, except with overriding considerations or some other tricky business that the council's going to pull to try to force the World Logistics Center upon our community. What would you say about it, Deanna?
Well, I think everybody needs to make themselves aware of what is in that final draft EIR, and they need to make comments. They need to make comments whether they think their comments are good enough. I think some people just don't have very much confidence in themselves, and so they don't make comments because they don't think they're going to sound intelligent or it's, you know, up to snuff with other people. But they still need to hear from as many people as possible.
I agree. Make your comments, people, as clear as you can. Do your best, but be sure you do speak up. This is your opportunity to comment on this project and let the citizens' voice be heard.
Okay, now did you have another couple of topics? I think you had mentioned.
Yeah, I did. Deanna, and I hope that you will join in with me, and I would like to discuss briefly just a few things about the earthquake in Nepal and the events in Baltimore over the last couple of weeks. Now, in Nepal, it's been a tragic disaster, and Kathmandu is basically ruined for several years. They won't be able to rebuild that quickly. Resources are scarce, and the hospitals are over-pushed, and people are living out on the sidewalk, and aid from around the world is necessary. I just wanted to take that opportunity to remind people in Moreno Valley that we happen to live near a very active fault called the San Jacinto Fault, one of the main branches of the San Andreas, and earthquakes are quite possible along that fault, and they will affect Moreno Valley severely if it's more than about a 7.5 to 8 magnitude earthquake. If it's located especially between San Bernardino and San Jacinto, if the epicenter is along that line, we will have the city closed down basically for a week. You won't be able to get money out of your ATMs. You won't be able to get too many groceries. We'll come back. We'll come back quickly. And just a reminder to people to just be aware and have a plan when it happens, where you're going to go, what time of day it is, where you're going to be, and have access to a pair of shoes, things like bottled water. You have your cell phone charged, and do the best you can to prepare for such a disaster. If it does happen, there's no time when it could be. It could be by the end of this show, or it could be 50 years from now. But I have extra insurance on my house because that's my main investment. I have earthquake insurance. Just saying. What do you think?
Well, you know what? When I was young, you know, in grade school, they kept talking about the big earthquake, and I can't say that I saw my parents or, you know, any of the people that I knew preparing for it. And then when I was in daycare, you know, some of the things they give you in some of the presentations, I saw an earthquake presentation, and basically, you know, it showed a timeline. It's like, okay, this earthquake was here, and then here, and they showed the regular intervals. And they're plus or minus, you know, 50 or 100 years, some of these earthquakes. But within that time, it's going to happen because it's been happening for thousands and thousands and thousands of years on this same timeline. You know, it's sort of like, you know, January comes after December and February comes after January, you know. Sometimes it's hotter or colder, but, you know, it's going to come. It's going to get here. So, you know, you're going to get winter, although sometimes not as cold as other, and then you're going to get spring, and then you're going to get summer, and you're going to get this, you get the seasons and you get them in order. Well, these earthquakes come. They come on a regular basis. They just have a bigger span of time that's regular for them, and it's 50 to, I think, 100, sometimes 150 years. And on some of these earthquakes, we are in the span of time where we are at the latter span of time. So it's not whether or not it's going to come. It is, and it's going to because it's been doing it for eons. So, you know, once someone actually showed me that, it was like, oh, and now I get it. Now I see why they've been telling us that we're going to get it. So,
yes, it's quite interesting. Yeah, I was just going to say one way people can look at it is you can think of, like, Yucaipa wants to be up there next to Palmdale because that's where the main fault of San Andreas is shifting over millions of years. And the prediction is that the coastal part of California will be off the Oregon coast in 5 million years, but it's going to be so far ahead. So you made some good points, Deanna, that, you know, this is a regular thing. It doesn't go on an exact time scale, but just rough interval. And the last I heard from the geology people is that the odds were about 50-50 of a 7-point earthquake within the next 30 years on the San Jacinto Fault. That's between San Bernardino and Hemet somewhere. 30 years. That's a very rough estimate.
Yeah, and that, now, you know, I mean, it might seem like a long time, but I tell you what, when it gets here, it ain't going to seem like too long.
Yeah, I've lived in my house almost 30 years here in Moreno Valley, so, you know, I'm careful. But then in Baltimore, we've had a sort of an earthquake of our own here in the United States. It's been tragic to watch some of the events and some of the occurrences that led up to this difficulty. And there's a lot of talk online. There's a lot of stuff on the media and everything. And I just hope that, in my view, my opinion is the violence be minimized as much as possible and that people take sort of a positive attitude, maybe to clean things up and remember that success is the best revenge. If you want to get back at some group, some government agency, or some part of the city, some part of the populace, just do your best, be positive, marshal your resources, and work for the end of the strife and the rebuilding of one of the better American cities. What do you think, Deanna?
I think there's definitely a better way to do it than resorting to violence. I mean, I think that, you know, back way when, that's when we had the Vikings and whoever had the biggest club was, you know, ruler. And today that is just not what we need to be doing. You know, people need to use their words, you know.
I know, they're more powerful. And images
they
like
are.
Of the clergy linking arms. The clergy over there every night now since the so-called riots, which the media has pushed, you know, oh, there's a garbage can on fire. There's a riot going on. They've emphasized, the priests and the clergy have emphasized rebuilding. So I'm glad to see that.
Okay, next week there is a study session on May 5th at 6 o'clock. And the only item on the agenda is the introduction of the proposed two-year budget for fiscal years 2015-16 and 2016-17. So with that, I guess we want to thank you for listening.
Yeah,
and good night,
people.
Moreno Valley.
Good night, Deanna, and good night, Moreno Valley.